नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 12. Eka eva Ishvara Turya Bhagavan Sva Ashraya Para Tum Adrishtva Abhavam Pumsa Kim Asat Karma Bhi Bhave. Eke eveshvarasturyo Bhagavan Bhagavan svashreya para Tam adrishtva bhavam pumsa Kimasat karma birbhave. Eka eveshvarasturyo Bhagavan svashreya para Tam adrishtva bhavam pumsa Kimasat karma birbhave. Eka eveshvarasturyo Bhagavan svashreya para Tam adrishtva bhavam pumsa Kimasat karma birbhave. Ladies, please. Any other men? Okay. Eka. One. Eva, indeed. Ishvara, supreme controller. Turiha, the fourth transcendental category. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. Sva Ashraya. Excuse me. Independent. Being his own shelter. Para. Beyond this material creation. Tam. Him. Adrishtva. Not seeing. Abhavam. Who is not born or created. Pumsaha. Of a man. Kim. What benefit? Asat karma bi. With temporary fruitive activities. Vavet. There can be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had said that there is a kingdom where there is only one male. The Haryashvas realized the purport of this statement. The only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who observes everything, everywhere. He is full of six opulences and fully independent of everyone else. Who would like to name those six opulences besides Prahlad Maharaj? Yes. Huh? No, six opulences. Beauty, go ahead, from there. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think you said that. Beauty, wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. Yes, thank you. Because sometimes some of persons watching or listening in on the internet, they may not be familiar with these six, so it's good to keep them in touch so that they don't turn the dial and go to another station, like Amazon.com or one of them. He is never subject to the three modes of material nature, for he is always transcendental to this material creation. If the members of human society do not understand him, the Supreme, through their advancement in knowledge and activities, but simply work very hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness, what will be the benefit of their activities? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had mentioned a kingdom where there is only one king with no competitor. The complete spiritual world, and specifically the cosmic manifestation, has only one proprietor or enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond this material manifestation. The Lord has therefore been described as Turiya, existing on the fourth platform, the transcendental platform. He has also been described as Abhava. The word Bhava, which means takes birth, comes from the word bu, to be. That's B-H-U, not B-O-O. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:19, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. The living entities in the material world must be repeatedly born and destroyed. Actually, we know what Srila Prabhupada means in this. What does Srila Prabhupada mean when he says the living entities in the material world must be repeatedly born and destroyed? Huh? Yes, yes. He's saying that the living entities, but what he means, he's making it kind of simple and shortcut. He means that the bodies of the living entities in this material world must be repeatedly born and destroyed, in which, of course, the souls dwell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is neither Bhutva nor Praliyate. He is eternal. In other words, he is not obliged to take birth like human beings or animals, which repeatedly take birth and die because of ignorance of the soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not subjected to such changes of body. And one who thinks otherwise is considered a fool. Avajanati mam mudha. Manushim Tanum Ashwitam. Narada Muni advises that human beings not waste their time simply jumping like cats and monkeys without any real benefit. The duty of the human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what else? What's the purpose of understanding the purpose of... Yes. Yeah, go ahead. You didn't have a... You learn the purpose, you understand the Lord, and then what's the purpose? Yes, and then that leads to pure love of God, and that leads to? Yes, personal interaction with the Supreme Lord when we sufficiently develop pure love of Krishna's lotus feet and have only one thought on our mind, and that is to serve, to love, surrender, and sacrifice to Krishna. Omagyanati mirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmulitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge of my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So we're running short. Normally I would read the translation again, but I'd like to go into the... some of the points which are made here. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing very clearly here that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all in all. And as indicated by some of the answers given, he has six opulences. He is never affected by his own material energy. Although he can live in this world in the material energy, but he's never subject to it. He's never ruffled by it. He's never shaken by it. Nor is he ever influenced by it. He is pure, transcendental, spiritual, loving consciousness. Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. So, over and over, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes how great, how glorious, how wonderful, how remarkable Krishna is. He never stops trying to drum this into our head. It's almost in every purport. Krishna is great. Krishna is glorious. Krishna is wonderful. Krishna is remarkable. Krishna is the highest. This theme is over and over. And I'm so happy that he does this because it's so easy to forget this. It's easy to remember that I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm remarkable, I'm so laudable and praiseworthy. This is so easy. This is our natural bent or tendency. But because we do this, Srila Prabhupada so graciously, so kindly, says, no, stop thinking of yourself. Think of Krishna. Revere Krishna. Adore Krishna. Bow down to Krishna. Glorify Krishna. Never stop speaking of Krishna. And share Krishna with everyone you meet so that they too can experience the transcendental bliss that you will experience as you think of, you dwell on, and you meditate on Krishna. So this is wonderful. And I'm so happy about this. Now in literature, good form is not to repeat things. Sometimes readers take it as, what do you think, I don't have any intelligence? You think I can't remember? They take it as an affront, as an insult. Especially if you read any novels, and an author should repeat a paragraph unnecessarily. This is considered a no-no. But in transcendental literature, it's a yes-yes. There's no question. It's so nice to hear how great, how glorious, how wonderful, how marvelous Krishna is. Srila Prabhupada repeats it over and over again so that we will never, never, never forget it. Because our tendency is to forget it and to remember ourselves and to remember all those things with which we are identified with our physical bodies if we are identified with our spiritual, our physical bodies. We think about our cars. We think about whether halava is going to be prepared today. We think of whether our dhoti is pressed. We think of all sorts of things connected with our body. And while there may be some use for that, for a certain amount of time, it can become it can become too much, to the extent that we forget Krishna. And generally, that's how we do forget Krishna. We get so mixed up in our computers and on the latest program, the latest iPod, the latest computer board which has come out. which one is better? Should I go with a Mac? Should I go with a PC? All of these questions are continuously pummeling us and bombarding us and smacking us. And while it's necessary at times to deal with these, because actually using a computer can be very wonderful for spreading Krishna consciousness, and we have so many great devotees doing just that. But when thinking of the computer and the program and this and that becomes almost a full-time job, it ceases to really benefit or fulfill its function, namely spreading of Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here again and again, that the purpose of Krishna consciousness, as you all have mentioned, is to develop pure love of God. And you develop pure love of God, or we develop pure love of God, when we when we're always thinking of Him in a serviceable way. When we want to serve Him, we want to honor Him, we want to glorify Him, we want to praise Him, we want to worship Him, we want to pray to Him. All of these help us to keep Krishna in the center of our mind. Srila Prabhupada uses a very uncommon word in the Krishna book. He calls it the cynosure. A cynosure is on a stage is a focal point. So he says that this Krishna should be the focal point on the stage of our mind, so that all we think of is Krishna and all things connected with Krishna. If we start thinking of too many things unconnected, then what happens is they become our God, and Krishna becomes, you might say, a tenth God. He's in the background. He's in the back seat. He's not in the front seat anymore. So we want to keep Krishna in the front seat. So I thought I would focus my talk today on, excuse me, a little cough. Focus my talk today on a very interesting concept. It's called hero worship. Every human being inherently, when he's young, when he's growing up, when he's an adult, usually has someone as a hero in his or her life, or heroine. It is our nature to have a hero. We cannot avoid it. Either you will have a transcendental hero, if you are a devotee, or you will have a material hero, if we are non-devotees. From the time we're very young, we are encouraged to have, unless your parents are pure devotees of the Lord, we're encouraged to have material or materialistic heroes. We worship actors and actresses. We worship the movies they're in. We worship sports athletes, football players, basketball players, baseball players. This worship is brought to such a high degree that people know, they know the number on the back of the player. They know where the player was born, how many times he was married, how many kids he has, if he ever went to jail. He knows all of these little, what we call trivia. And he can tell you all these different stories or pastimes. Not really pastimes. Pastimes are limited to Krishna and his pure devotees. But to a materialist, that's the pastime that you live for. I remember years ago when I was quite young, about 9 or 10, we used to have what we call baseball cards. You remember those? and we would flip them heads or tail, whatever it was. And on the back of the card, they gave you the story of that player. And you'd go home and you'd memorize them and you'd get all these facts. And I remember we'd be in the schoolyard and we'd be discussing all these different things. How many home runs Ted Williams hit, what position Joe DiMaggio played, and all this kind of trivia, which really meant nothing. It went nowhere. And there was no fruit from it except a little bit of false ego that I know about this and you don't know it. Ha ha. So this is the mentality that people are storing up all kinds of garbage in their minds, which brings no real result. To worship one of these material heroes, an actor, an actress, I know that persons, they get these 8x10 pictures of their favorite actor, actress, with a signed autograph, and they put it on the wall. And then when they go to sleep that night, they take it off the wall, they put it on their heart, and they lie down. They go to sleep with their favorite actor or actress. And they wake up, ah, there you are, Brad Pitt. You're still so beautiful. Or Tom Cruise, you stayed with me all night. And they have fan clubs. And they know all this minutia of, you know, where they were born, what his real name is and not his stage name. This is a perverted reflection of the natural or inherent desire to have a hero. Why do we need a hero? Because we all feel insecure. When I say we, I mean anyone who has some material consciousness, and that includes yours truly. So, we feel insecure. We feel uncertain. We feel doubt. Deep down we know we can die any moment. Even though we may not bring that to the fore of consciousness, but we know that we can die any moment. That makes us scary. Maybe when I walk down the end of the block and I turn the corner, somebody will be out of there with a sledgehammer and smash me over the head and that'll be the end of it. It can happen. We read in the newspapers, or we hear on the television, somebody's dying. Somebody's being murdered. Somebody's being robbed. Somebody is slipping on a banana peel. These things are happening. And so therefore, because we're human beings, and the people to whom they have occurred are also human beings, they can occur to us. So they make us a little uneasy and queasy and shaky and nervous. And we try to ignore it, or we try to wipe it out. Maybe we take some kind of a tranquilizer, or the person takes a drink, wine or whiskey or beer, anything to kind of feel okay. You know, I don't have any problems. I'm just happy, real, real happy. You know, this is the mood of persons that go into the bar. They're depressed, they're down, dejected, take a few beers. Nope, I don't have a problem. Everything's cool, fine, wonderful, dandy. So, this is the escape. But when they wake up the next morning, the problems are still there. And again, they have to go back to the bar to feel up. Or they go to their gambling casino to try to win a few and feel they're on top of the world. Because when you win, you're a winner. And when you're down, you're a loser. And nobody wants to be Mr. Loser. Just a fact. That's what false ego is all about. It's about winning. It's about thinking that you're better, you're bigger, you're greater, you're higher, you're wonderful, you're God. That's why we came into this world. We came into the world to be a lord, to be a powerhouse, to be a controller, to be an enjoyer, to be a friend of everyone. Everyone loves me. I'm not just liked, I'm well-liked, was Willie Loman's famous words. Death of a Salesman, those of you who may have seen that play. I'm not just liked, I'm well-liked. He was so well-liked that he realized at the end of his life, very wonderful story for devotees to read, because it shows the emptiness of material life. And he would say, nobody really cared about him. He was kicked out of his job because he couldn't produce. And his son, he was hoping that his son Biff would somehow step into his shoes and start selling like crazy. And everybody would like Biff. Everybody would love Biff. Oh, Biff is great. This is what he was praying for and hoping for and crying for. But what did Biff want? Forget it, Dad. I'm going out west on the prairie. That's what Biff said. I don't want to be like you. You're suffering. You're in a terrible, horrible, lamentable situation. Look at you. You think you were wonderful. You think you were well-liked. Why aren't all those people who liked you writing your letters and saying, "Hi, Willie, where you been? What have you been doing?" Nobody cares for you. And I'm not going to make the mistake that you made. So I'm going to leave. So he had nothing. He was empty. His Biff was a good football player when he was in high school. So Biff was his hope. So when Biff left, what happened? Willie had nothing. So what did he do? He was driving on the highway, and he couldn't stop thinking of the past, because the past was where the glory was. The past was where his greatness was, so-called. His past was where all the applause was. The past was where the sales were. And he got so involved in this that he crashed his car and died. He wanted to die. How do we know this? Because he was fixing up a pipe from the gas jet down into the cellar. And he was going to get into his car and just asphyxiate himself. That was his plan. But he got caught. So it happened this way. This is the result of false values. Many people went to that play. Many materialists went to that play. And it was so touching, so moving, so poignant. We're talking about big industrialists. Tears were just flying because they were seeing their own life played out on stage. It's considered one of the great plays of 1900s. So my point here is that it's natural to have a hero. It's okay to admire anyone if he's a basketball player, whatever he is. If he's got some skill or some ability, we can always admire that. But for what reason? Krishna says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. We admire greatness, we admire ability, we admire triumph. Not for its own sake, but for Krishna's sake. Because Krishna is releasing his greatness through some particular being. Some people can play baseball. Some are good actors. Some are good lawyers. Some are good teachers. Some are good temple presidents. Some are good sannyasis. Some are not. So we can admire when someone is shining. Someone is sparkling. But what need is there, Arjun, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So Krishna is working through us. And he manifests his little sparkling. And when a person is perfect in some particular field, that's Krishna. So that's why we can look at flowers. Now, I was looking at some Christian literature. And it was very unfortunate because it was for the monks. Their level of understanding is not the one that Srila Prabhupada gave. He said, you should just come to loathe the world, hate the world, despise the world. Why? This is Krishna's energy. Why should we hate that which is of Krishna? Why can't we see the beauty of a flower, which is Krishna's handiwork? It's his creation. Can't we admire this beautiful flower? Can't we admire this beautiful sunset, which is all being created by the material energy? But it has its root, it has its source in loving Krishna. He gives joy to our eyes, our ears, and nose, and tongue, and skin for no other reason than to love him more. If we see these things as distractions, as diversions, as some of those monks were seeing, then we lose the full understanding. We partialize. We say Krishna is here or Jesus is here, but the world, that's not having to do with him. No, Krishna is everywhere. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. So he's saying, engage your mind, always think of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances, worship me, thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Again and again and again, Krishna says, just think of me, make me your all in all, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So that is the focal point of Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, that we have to keep our mind on Krishna. Krishna is the hero of all heroes. I mean, just think about some of the things that he did. And we all know this, but it doesn't hurt to have refreshed. We talk about heroes, big scores, you know, basketball scores, how many points, most valuable player, this, that. We talk about strong men in the Olympics. You can press 400 pounds or so. But we look at Krishna. A person may press 400 pounds over his head. But Krishna, he held up hundreds and thousands of pounds on his little pinky. Hundreds of thousands. He put his little mound there. He picked up Govardhan Hill, stood up and said, come on, underneath, take shelter. I'm not going to let Indra drown you. And he held that mountain up for 7 days and seven nights. Everybody was happy. Nobody was hungry. And Indra, who tried to flood Vrindavan and kill the residents of Vrindavan, realized what a fool he was. Finally, he stopped the devastating rainfall and came later to apologize to Krishna. And what did Krishna say? Krishna said, you're very proud, Indra. And if you let this pride get the best of you, you're going to really have a very precipitous fall. So try to understand. Don't be proud. This is another very important message that is in this Bhagavad Gita. Don't be proud. Don't be vain. Don't be conceited. Don't be complacent. Don't be any of these things. Know that whatever opulence, beauty, or power that's manifesting through us, whether, as I said, whether it's through speaking, or whether it's through cooking, whether it's through deity dressing, or whether it's anywhere you're putting on festivals, whatever it is, if people are praising us, people are glorifying us, people are bowing down to us, people are, as I said, applauding us, it's not ours. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from the spark of my splendor, Krishna said. It's Krishna's. He's lending it to us. And if he's lending it to us, let us be so thankful to him that he's allowing us to participate in his sankirtan or his preaching movement. It is a grace. It is a blessing. We're not doing the temple a favor. We're not doing Krishna a favor. We're not doing the karmis or the non-devotees a favor. We're doing ourselves a favor because these different activities are giving us a chance to express love in the form of action or service to Krishna. Therefore, we're doing our own soul a favor. And every time we do some pure, loving, devotional service, Krishna appreciates it more than we can ever imagine. And there's so much wonderful service going on in this temple, and in all temples, actually. And we should take a few moments out to think of how all these different devotees are blessing us with their service, enabling us to do our service better, enabling us to draw closer in bonds of friendship and love to Krishna. When you look at these beautiful deities on the altar, how can you not feel love in your heart? They are so beautiful, and they have been dressed so gorgeously, and so tastefully, and so lovingly. The persons who dressed them did not just take a batch of cloth and slop it together and throw on the shoulder, dump a crown on Jagannath's head. They didn't do that. They did it very carefully. It was done so meticulously. And because it was done that way, Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, he expresses this pleasure outward. And we stand in front of Krishna and Balaram and Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Jagannath Baladev, Lady Subhadra. We stand in front of them and they emanate, they radiate, they bless us over and over. We could never repay the love that they give to us. We cannot even see the end of it. If you looked up, 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 you could never see the end of the grace or the mercy that God is giving us. Therefore, out of a sense of spiritual obligation, a sense of spiritual appreciation, we should do our service with filled with love, filled with submissiveness, filled with appreciation. Oh Lord, this service, I'm not doing you or the temple a favor. You're giving me a favor by allowing me to do this and get rid of this false ego which strangles my love for you. The only way I can get rid of this false ego is by serving unconditionally, uninterruptedly, lovingly. And if I serve that way, I'll get your reciprocation. I'm not demanding it. I'm not holding you to it. But your nature is to repay all that which comes to you 1,000,000,000 times over. And so when I perform this service, you're giving me this opportunity to feel your love in my heart. And when I feel your love in my heart, I feel inner joy, inner strength, inner peace, inner freedom, in a word, inner happiness. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he attains the Supreme Lord. One can know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So Krishna has provided all this for us. We should not take it for granted. We should not take it cheaply. We should not take it as if it's coming to us. We should take it as a very, very rare gift. A gift like a miser gets a diamond and he holds it next to his chest. He doesn't want to let it go. Or he puts it under his pillow and he gets up and sees, yet the diamond's still there. We should be holding our service with such appreciation, with such devotion, with such gratitude. And we should do it not as us giving a favor to the temple or Krishna, but as we have gotten the greatest of favors, that is the opportunity to serve Krishna, love Krishna, honor Krishna, celebrate Krishna, all these wonderful festivals that we have. Every one of us help us to forget our false ego self and remember the glorious great hero Krishna. And also, I must say, the great heroine Srimati Radharani. Everyone needs a role model. Every woman should be looking at Radharani as the ideal woman. Krishna, he controls the whole world. There's not a speck of it that he cannot control. And yet, Srimati Radharani controls Krishna's heart. What power of love she has. We should be praying to her. Please, O Mata, please, pour into my heart that kind of love you have, so that I too can attract Krishna for no other reason than I can perform more service, better service, purer service. And I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or any comments anyone would like to make? Any mistakes I made you'd like to correct or something? No? Nothing? No? You sure? Last chance. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, I thought you were going to...